Reading this morning comes from Colossians 3, verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry.
It's good to see you today. I invite you, please, to open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 12. As soon as our service is over today, at the end of the prayer, if you'll stay for just a moment, there's an important announcement that needs to be made. Stuff is so fascinating. It has such a grip on us. I personally have been struggling my whole life with trying to get free from the grip that stuff has on us. Paul just told us in Colossians that covetousness is called idolatry. An idol stands in for Satan. When Paul was talking about idols, he said they're really nothing, but in another way, they're really something. It's just a rock or a statue, but it's the front for Satan. So when you worship an idol, you worship Satan. And stuff stands in for idols. We can get pretty sophisticated in our idolatry. We don't have to have a bone in our nose and a breech cloth on our body and a spear in our hand to be idol worshipers. We can be so sophisticated we don't even think of it as worship. And yet there it is. Stuff worms its way into our life and into our affection and into our worship. Think about living without the phone that you have. I just found out that I've been wanting one of those flat TVs for so long. I finally got one, and this year, so the flat ones aren't any good anymore, and you've got to have one that curves. I don't know what the curve is good for, but it sure looked like it was important. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus talks about stuff. In the middle of his sermons, when he's talking about who he is and what he is and what they ought to be doing, well, we'll just start with verse 13. One of the multitude said to him, "Teacher, bid my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me the judge or divider over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So he who lays up treasures for himself is not rich towards God. And he said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, or about your body, what you shall put on it. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, and they neither have storehouses nor barns, and yet God feeds them. Are of how much more value are you than a bird? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a cubit to the span of his life? If then you are not able to do such a small thing as this, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow it's thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith?" And do not seek what you are to eat or what you are to drink, or nor be anxious, be of anxious mind, for the nations of the world seek these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things shall be yours as well. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give alms, provide for yourselves, provide yourselves with purses that do not grow old, and with treasure in heaven that does not fall, where no thief approaches, no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What started as a sermon moves into a conversation, turns back into a sermon, and then a teaching session with his disciples. And Jesus tells us four things in this passage that we need to remember, especially at a time when we are in the grip of covetousness. The first thing he tells us is stuff, verse 13 through 15, that stuff is not worth losing your family over. This man is all upset because he's not getting what he thinks is his fair shake in the inheritance. Maybe he's a younger brother and the older brother's getting the double portion, but whatever it is, he thinks he should have more, and he wants this prophet to intervene so that he can circumvent whatever else is going on. Maybe he's being defrauded. I don't know. But I know one thing, he's so upset about it that he's ready to go to court. And he's ready for Jesus to do something about it. In the years that I've preached, I've seen very many times families that just can't survive the stuff that they have. I remember one time a man, when he died, the sheriff went to his house and put padlocks on every door and window. It was at his request. It was part of his will. When the family got there and they couldn't get in the house, they went to the executor and said, "We have things in that house we're supposed to get." And he said, "You will be able to get them come Saturday. There's going to be an auction. And your family will be the only ones going to the auction. And if you want your mother's table, you buy it. And when it's all over with, I'm going to divide the money up among you. This is what your dad wanted." I said, why did he do that? And he said, "He said in the will, my kids will kill each other if they get in that house." That'd be a horrible thing to know about your kids. This guy was one of those guys. Stuff is not worth losing your family over. Matter of fact, Paul even takes it farther than that, and he said, sometimes you're defrauded by people that aren't even family. If it's a brother, it's not worth dividing the fellowship that we have. The first rule he gives us here is that whatever we have, it's not worth what we could have in our family. They did a study one time, not very long ago. They interviewed a whole bunch of kids in junior high, and they said, if you had to give up your father or your cell phone for 1 year, which would you choose? Dads came in way last to cell phones. Stuff is not worth losing your family over. The second thing he tells us is down a couple more verses, and he tells us, look at what he tells us here, stuff is not worth losing your soul over. When he tells this parable, he's saying, take heed to covetousness. Beware of covetousness. And we're in verse 15. For a man's life does not consist of the abundance of his blessings. And then he told that story of the rich man that had the bumper crop. And before the day is over with, he's not only not a rich man anymore, but he's a lost man, and he's called a fool. God is telling us through his son Jesus that stuff is not worth losing your family over. It's also not worth losing your soul over. Some of us are losing the battle to covetousness, are losing the battle to stuff, and we need to repent. The third thing he tells us is that stuff is not worth losing your mind over. Look what he tells us in verse 23 and following. He keeps using that word anxious. Now, He's not just talking about it's something you think about from time to time. He's talking about that desperation that we get, that anxiety that comes over us so that we actually lose the power to think rationally because of the hold that this earth has on us. He said, it's not worth losing your family over. Stuff is not worth losing your soul over, and it's not worth losing your mind over. So what should we do? In verse 31, he says, instead of this, seek the things of the kingdom. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. What he says, instead of trusting, you see, that's the problem. We think we're not really complete unless we have this or that, or that's so much money or whatever. Whatever that's in the place there that's substituting for the idol, that's substituting for Satan, that's the ruler of this world, he tells us that whatever that is, instead of that, we should trust God. We should learn to trust God. We should seek the things that are above. Well, is that going to be easy? No. It might be the hardest thing we ever did, but we can do it, and we can do it by faith. By faith, we know that God is faithful. By faith, we know that animals, they do all right without stuff. By faith, we know that God has taken care of us in the past, hasn't he? By faith, we know that he knows what we need and he provides for us that very thing that we needed, the very hope that we needed, it's already there. And he wants us to learn to trust God. The problem with covetousness, the problem with idolatry is not that we don't believe in God, but we put our weight down on something else. God wants us to put our weight down. He wants us to lean. He actually wants us to use a crutch. But what he wants us to lean on is him, to trust him. All the things of this earth, all of the fleshly things, and we could say the same thing, and Jesus does in other places, about other kinds of lures that the world has, our pride and other things like that. But here he's talking about a very real one, and that is, what are we going to put our weight down on? What are we going to see as our salvation? What are we going to see as the answer to our problems? What are we going to see as the thing that we stay up at night? Think about the last time you couldn't go to sleep and you were worrying about something. There's a good chance it was stuff. Think about the things that you were upset with family members over. It's a good chance that it was stuff. Maybe not every time, but a lot of times. Think about the things that jeopardize your very salvation. It could be stuff. He doesn't say it's bad to own it. What he says is we got to quit worshiping it. We got to quit seeking it. We got to quit putting our weight down on something that can't save us and can't hold us up. But God can, and that's what he wants us to do. Especially this time of year when we are, you know, you get those catalogs and you find out, did you know now they have, and then you find that new deal. I'll never forget the day I saw a microwave with a slow cook element in it. I thought that was the greatest thing you'd have. You could cook slow faster with that than you can anything else. It's just what the world would want us to do, isn't it? And the whole thing comes back to, what are we going to put our weight down on? What are we going to trust? And where are we going to seek? And what are we going to worship? Let's make it God. Some of us need to repent. This is a good time. Won't you come to Jesus while we stand and sing?